Oh, God is good. All the time? Okay, we're going to try that again. Come on. God is good? All the time? Roberto was helping me the first time, a couple other people, but I heard Roberto. Oh, praise God. When Pastor Chris asked me to fill in for him a little while ago, I always know that what that entails. No problem. When Pastor Chris asked me to preach, I always either have the sermon ready or, you know, at least in my head, and then I start developing it, and then as he's preaching, as we get closer to me preaching, he's preaching some of my sermon. So at least I always know I'm on the right page because I'm on the same page as him. So I'm actually hitting stuff on a different angle than him, but we're going to be talking about passion. A passion that we have for God. A passion that we should have for God, and compare it to things that we have passion for also, but we need to balance. But so some of the passages that you'll hear tonight will be passages Pastor Chris has preached in the past couple of weeks. It always works. But in the songs we sang tonight, there were the hungry, and it was broken, I run to you, long for, pressing on. These are all action words that show, you know, and it's, a lot of it's in the Bible, but it shows that we need to be living an active Christian life. There are so many people out there saying, hey, I'm a Christian, but they have no clue what a Christian is. And they don't love God. You know, they just agree with, you know, some of that stuff, but they don't live it. And what I want to talk about is the passion. We're saying we're choosing celebration. I want to be close to your side. I want to be near to your heart. We fall down. We lay down our crowns. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me, Jesus. You are all this heart is living for. Passion. What is your passion? Is your passion family? Is your passion work? Is it passion sports? And I want to get this out of the way, you know, up front. We're allowed to have passions for those things. You know, that's fine. It's about the priority of, and what I'm kind of preaching to myself tonight too. It's about God being our number one passion. Now, while we're at work, we need to have passion for work. But meanwhile, and back in the background, they're helping us make our decisions and stuff. Is that passion for God? You know, so that passion for God should always be there and be number one. But while we're at work, we're working on work. You know, I have, you know, different passions and stuff. You know, we all have different passions, but it's about priorities. A couple quick verses. Luke chapter 6, verse 21. And all my verses are from the NIV, the New International Version. That's what I prefer. But Luke 20 or 6:21 says, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied." Matthew 5:6, basically the same verse but very different author, says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Philippians chapter 3, verse 12-14, and again, pastors preached on this, but not that I've already, this is Paul talking to the church in Philippi. He said, "Not that I've already obtained all of this or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on. I press on to take a hold of what Jesus Christ took a hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing that I do, forgetting what's behind me and straining on what's ahead." Action words, you know, action phrases there. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. My passion, and a lot of you don't know me and my background and stuff, and I've been trying to make my rounds and trying to talk to people, introduce myself, and I'm sorry I haven't done so, but, you know, you could come up to me tonight, you know, too. then introduce yourself. But my passion, my background, I grew up as a pastor's kid. My dad was in the service and got called into the ministry, went to Bible college, and then he went into the ministry, and I was a pastor's kid, just like Pastor Chris. And when I was 13 years old, God was really moving in my life. So many things, so many great things was happening in my life spiritually. That God, I felt that God called on my life to go into the ministry. So then when as I was preparing, you know, as I was in junior high and senior high, I knew I'm going to Valley Forge Christian College. And I did. I went 4 years there. But while I was at the college, Bible college of all things, my passion kind of got sidetracked a little bit. I still wanted to do that. I wanted to get into the ministry, but I ended up starting working, and then I was working the graveyard shift while going to school, and I was kind of putting my studies aside. I mean, I went to classes, and we went to every day we had chapel. 5 days a week we had chapel. But my passion, my priorities had got kind of twisted there, and after 4 years I didn't graduate, you know, from there. I was real close, and then I ended up moving up in the company. I was working in armed security, I loved the job. I was great at it, and then I got married, and then after that we had our first boy, and I'm working, and meanwhile, downside me is that aching of, oh, I got to get back. I got to get into the ministry. I have to get into ministry. That's my call. So after a few turn of events, I end up just taking the family, moving from that part of Pennsylvania to York, Pennsylvania, with a little bit lower cost of living. I found a job in armed security, and I started working there. I called my pastor, who hadn't really seen me because I was working the graveyard shift still and working 60, 70, 80 hours a week and trying to help out with, you know, having a young son and everything. And so I called him and I said, hey, I moved. You know, I just want to let you know I moved. And he actually, long story short, his brother-in-law preached right down the road from me, like 5 minutes. And he didn't bother telling me that both wives were twins, so that really confused me when I showed up and I thought his wife there, and it was, you know, the other wife. But yeah, the twins kind of threw me off. But I eventually ended up becoming a youth pastor. I got my license through the Assemblies of God. I became a youth pastor. I was there for 5 years, back on track, had the passion for that. I still worked and everything. And then after that job, ministry, I went to another church. I was there for 5 years as a youth pastor. And then I moved here in 2000, and I took a local church here as a senior pastor, and was excited. And the more and more as we went along, the struggles just got me, and it just pulled me down. And it wasn't God, it was me. It was the way I was focused and looking at the job, you know, of the ministry. And I shouldn't have been looking at the job of the ministry. It was it was about God. But it was just dragging me down. The church was up and down, struggling. I kept on, I was cutting my own salary at the church and working more and more at Pyrotechnico, where I work now for fireworks. And as I was working Pyrotechnico, my passion was growing more and more for fireworks. So it kind of made sense for me to resign for my family's sake. But I had lost my passion. So I started working fireworks and started trying to find a church. And after 11 churches, I finally found this church, which I thank God so much for. A couple of churches I was involved with, the worship ministry, and just things didn't work out. And God brought me here, and God has allowed me to minister. I don't believe God wants me to go back into senior pastor ministry. But I feel like I'm a perfect fit with Pastor Chris. You know, he's actually taught me a lot with that. Also, just kind of a sidetrack, but it's trying to get my point across. About 6 years, so that's my story about jobs. But 6 years ago, I started getting into running. And if I don't, you guys don't, because of the way I'm built, way back when I used to be a sprinter, and I was actually pretty good, got trophies for sprinting, even though I'm this short too. So that doesn't help either. But I was actually skinny way back then, so that helped. But I started running at the Y and started running on the treadmill, and I didn't think I'd like it, and I liked it, and I realized, hey, I like this, you know, short, long-distance running. Eventually got into 5K races. But then after doing some of them and reffing basketball, I reffed basketball in the area, my Achilles was messed up real bad, and it was really discouraging me. And then it was actually really, I mean, I was almost in tears sometimes because of how bad my Achilles was, and because I had a passion. I had a passion. You know, and I wanted to do it. So that's why for a month or so I was wearing a big boot on my foot just a couple months ago. And I'm hoping and praying that it's good. I'm going to test it out tomorrow because I'm reffing 4 games of basketball. I'm not sure if that's going to work. But so point one is, what is passion? What is passion? Passion is something that is desired intensely. You have to have that word intensely in there. Passion is something that is desired intensely. It's an extreme interest in or wish of doing something, such as a hobby, activity, etc. You know, in Christianity, it's a longing for God, for more of God and an intimate relationship with God through the work of Jesus Christ. So many people who even are Christians don't realize we could actually have a daily walk with God. It's a blown mind concept. You know, it's like, wow, we could have a relationship, but we don't realize that Adam and Eve had a relationship with God. They messed it up by sin, you know. But we still, God had relationships with Moses and a lot of the men, Abraham, David, you know, throughout the years. But through Jesus Christ and the work of the cross, we all have access to the throne of God and having a relationship with God. You know, God longs for us. We need to long for Him. Psalm 63. Psalm 63 is a psalm by David, and he was in the desert of Judah at the time. And I love this. When I was looking for verses, and this seemed perfect. And again, from the New International Version, "You God, or my God, earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry, parched land where there is no water, I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you." When we praise and worship like we just were, we were worshiping God and we were loving God and having a relationship. Part of our relationship, part of, you know, God is worship. Having a relationship with God is getting into the Word. It's about praying and fellowshipping with one another and being led by God, allowing God to speak to us as we pray to Him. Verse 4, "I will praise you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. I am fully satisfied as with the riches of foods, and with the singing of my mouth will pray, with singing lips my mouth will praise you. On my bed I will remember you. I will thank you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I will sing in the shadows of your wings. I will cling to you. Your right hand upholds me." Brings us to something pastors talked about a couple weeks, past few weeks, but the women with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. We're not going to get into that because, like I said, pastor's been talking about it. But I kind of pictured it while he was preaching on it one time, that this lady had a problem, a medical problem that just was going worse and worse and worse. She went to many doctors and nothing was helping, and she was getting worse. She shows up for a crowd and she's just thinking to herself, you know, if I could just get close to God, Jesus, and touch the hem of His garment. And it said there was a crowd. So I kind of was like thinking about it, like when you know, she was like here trying to figure out, he's over there and there's people surrounding. It wasn't easy because with her medical problem, it sounded like she was frail. And she needed to get through, and she was so determined to get through. She had a passion. Basically, her passion right then was just a touch from Jesus. And as Christians, that's should be our passion. Touch Jesus, a relationship with God. You know, not just Saturday nights or Saturday and Wednesday nights, but what are we doing, you know, tomorrow and Monday? Everybody always dreads Monday because we go back to work on Monday or go back to school Monday. But should we really dread it as Christians? You know, maybe we dread going back to work, but we still working. We're still having a relationship with God. You know, that's so awesome that we can have a relationship. There's so many religions out there that don't have a relationship with God, and they have to do and they do and they do and they do. And yet, what does it do to them or for them? We have a relationship with our God, and that's so awesome. But she had a desire to press through. And then he also mentioned this one, where in Mark chapter 2, about the four friends and the person that was paralyzed, the man that was paralyzed. They went there, and it's like, there's a crowd. Of course, anytime there was Jesus, most of the time there was a crowd, unless he was able to slip away. There was a crowd, and all they wanted to do is get their buddy, and they had a passion for their buddy, for something to be done for him. So what did they do? I mean, this is actually probably illegal then, because it'd probably be illegal now. They cut a hole in the roof, you know. But they were desiring that much we want this guy to see Jesus, because we know Jesus could do something about it. We just, again, as the lady, just want a touch of Jesus, you know. And we see what happened. They cut through, they dropped him down, and he was healed. He was healed. Now, a little bit of... we have to get a little bit into the negative, but, you know, bear with me, and we'll get back to the positive. But the detriments or the impairments to passion. And there's a few of them. Detriments or impairments to passion. Number one is our attitudes and excuses. There's a person I work with who, when she talks, it sounds so depressing. Just everything about her, she talks, she complains, she this and that. And, you know, for the longest time, I just tried to avoid her, you know, at work. And then, you know, I felt God say, no, you can't do that. And I haven't had a chance to actually sit down and talk with her. But whenever I can, I help her out. I go out of my way, you know, and say, oh, hey, I already did this for you, or I brought this down to you, and then just, you know, give her as much information as possible. And this is coming up, just to let you know. And I've seen a change of attitude towards me, but she still has this. And I feel bad because it almost sounds, everybody know Eeyore from, you know, Winnie the Pooh. She just like that. She just, you know, I don't know if I'd be able to hang out with Eeyore. I just, you know, Eeyore just, oh, I'd be so depressed. But then I'm not sure if I'd be able to hang out with Tigger either, because Tigger'd probably, he'd probably bother me. He'd be, just calm down. And it was funny because I went over there, and there was a book of Tigger, you know, because I haven't even thought about that earlier. I'm like, wow, that's kind of cool. But yeah, our bad attitudes, our complaining keeps us away from God. Because the more, this is basically elementary psychology. The more we fill ourselves with negative, the more negative we are. So the more negative we are, the more we move away from God. Because God doesn't want negative. God's all about the positive. You know, we're kind of moving ourselves away from God. God doesn't move away from us. We kind of move away from God sometimes. And we all do it. And it's about having that passion to go close to God. Because when we I like this saying from, I don't even know how long ago, but when we take one small step to God, God takes one giant step to us. And that's so true. That's so true. You know, we can't focus on the negatives. So that was the attitude, the excuses. I know there's another guy, there's a guy at work that every time something, you know, we had a Biggest Loser at work. We had to see how much, you know, weight we could lose. And I've won it in years past, but I didn't do the, I did pretty well this year, but not as well as I wanted to. But this guy started out, and he started out really good. And then I'm like, I said something to him, and I go, yeah. He goes, I can't lose weight like that. I'm just going to go lift, you know, because I can't do that. Or, you know, he talked about something else. Well, no, I can't do that because of this, or I can't do that because of this. And there's so excuses. I can't because of. Take that out of your vocabulary. Sometimes we can't because, really, truly, you know, we can't do something. But, you know, it's like when I go to lose weight, go to start working out, I'm like, I can't. I can't because of this or this or this. When I really want to, I do it because I really want to. So with excuses, stay away from excuses. Don't say, hey, you know, maybe later, you know, I can't because of this, or, oh, my dog ate it, or, no, just kidding. But here's a good scripture, Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But he replied, first, let me go bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury his own dead, and you will go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another, I will follow you, Lord, but first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow, looks back, is fit for the service of the kingdom of God. But I can't. You know, that's what Jesus kept on hearing there. But I can't. I can't. If we really want to, we can. You know, but it really has an underlying motive behind it that we really don't want to. You know, and we're coming up with excuses why. You know, we're supposed to read the Word, and I'm guilty of not reading the Word like I need to. We're supposed to pray and talk with God. I'm guilty, and I think a lot of us are. We need to get rid of the excuses, you know, and just move forward. The other detriment or impairment to passions is priorities. Jobs, monies, family, extracurricular activities, hobbies. And again, they're all good, but it's where is God in that priority list? You know, where is God in that priority list? A writer, Kate Flanders, says, what controls your mind controls your life. What controls your mind controls your life. What you're thinking about is, that's what your main passion is. Sometimes jobs can or other situations can temporarily take you away from going to church or devotions or whatever. You know, my job, a lot of you know that I won't be here coming up pretty soon for a stretch of period of time because I'm working 70, 80, 100 hours a week doing fireworks shows or working in the warehouse, getting trucks ready for the 4th of July and everything. So, but where's my heart? Where's my mind during that time? You know, of course, a lot of it's focused on the job, but am I missing church? You know, do I miss church? Oh, I do when I'm working, you know. But sometimes stuff takes us away from church or takes away from the devotions, and we don't, I was like, well, I don't really miss church. You know, we don't even say it to ourselves, but we really don't. You know, we need to keep our eyes focused on God and have God as the priority. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves and treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. And here's the key verse. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I thought of the commercial. I'm not sure why I thought of it, but what's in your wallet? We could change that. What's in your heart? You know, what's in your heart? You know, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What's in your heart? Another detriment to passion is a distortion of the view of God, the attributes of God, and God's Word. We hear so many times the Bible being misquoted. Are they going to take something from here and take something from here and try to make something out of it where this one and this one aren't related to each other? Or they miss certain, you know, phrases within that verse, or they don't read the whole verse. You know, sometimes we just kind of say, God doesn't really want all of me because of our own insecurities. God doesn't really want all of me. Well, God wanted Paul, one of the, as he called himself, the, you know, chief of sinners. You know, he went around, you know, and was involved with the killing of Christians. God still wanted him, and he ended up becoming one of the greatest, if not the greatest, evangelists of all time. I'm not another, you know, view of ourselves or whatever says I'm not worthy of a relationship with God, or God doesn't really think that this is sin. Or God is a God of love, so He won't send me to hell. Well, basically, we send ourselves. People who go to hell because they send themselves there because of their own decisions. So, but God is a God of love, but He's a God of, you know, He's a judge also. The last detriment to passion is sin. The Hebrew word for transgress means cross over. It could also mean to turn away. Cross over, turn away. The Hebrew word for transgression means a rebellion or revolt of sin. Revolt or a sin. The New Testament was written in the Greek. And the word for transgression means law-breaking, and the word for sin means literally missing the mark. How many of us miss the mark? I don't want to ask for a show of hands because it should be everybody. We miss the mark from time to time. You know, God wants us to have passion. God wants to have a relationship with us. God doesn't expect us to be perfect, though. God wants us to strive for a relationship to where we try to be perfect, but if we mess up, we shouldn't beat ourselves up about it. You know, but we shouldn't be purposely sinning either. We shouldn't go out there and look for sin, because then sin controls us. John 8:34 says, Jesus replied, "Verily, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 through 5. It says, in fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. And for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, not even our faith. But it is that, who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes in Jesus Christ. And we're skipping the verse 18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. Again, we are not perfect. We're going to sin. But we're not trying to sin. That is not, you know, we are like, oh, you know what? I'm going to sin this one time. I'm going to do this. Yeah, you know, God will forgive me. You know, we shouldn't play that game. If we really, truly have that passion to have a relationship with God, and we're moving forward in our relationship with God, then we're not going to want to play games. It's kind of like a marriage. We don't want to say, hey, I'm doing real well with my marriage, but I'm going to do this even though I know it'll hurt my marriage. You know, because it'll be all right. Why? You know, why even go that way? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The point number three is examples of passion in Jesus. I do want to give this one point first. Basically, it is kind of a current day event that just happened a month ago or so that shows like Jesus' love, his substitutionary love. Back on March 24th, a French police officer, a lieutenant colonel, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it because, again, it's French. He swapped himself with a hostage. He's like, hey, tell you what, you release the lady, I'll come take, you know, be your hostage. And it happened. You know, the officer had offered himself up to this guy, and he managed to leave his cell phone on somewhere on him, so then the police could actually hear him. But eventually, this guy was beaten stabbed or whatever, and eventually died. You know, because he had a passion there to take someone else's place. Jesus took our place. He had a passion. You know, he was willing to die for us so that we may live. And if it's that strong, you know, we need to live for him. I mentioned this before, and I kind of want to go in a little more detail about it. Back when I was a pastor, we did a thing for Easter. And I had heard the idea before, and we did a whole drama on it, and it was really cool. But don't take any offense that it's not Jesus dying on the cross. But it's kind of relates what Jesus did to us in a little more incredible way. I had a chair up on the stage, and it was a big chair, and it looked like an electric chair, which is what it was supposed to be. Some guy was being escorted in by a security guard who then came down and hooked him up. I think I was the narrator and was saying all this. And they sat him down. They strapped him in on his arms. They strapped him in his legs. They put a thing on his head. And then there was somebody else on the other side where they went to pull the switch. And right before they pulled the switch, someone in the back of the room goes, wait, no. No, don't pull that switch. He came forward. He just came forward. He just walked up, and he kind of nodded to the guard, and he said, release him immediately. So the person, the death row inmate, was like, what's going on? What's going on? I don't know what's going on. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, wow, cool, I'm free. So he starts walking down. Meanwhile, the guy who yelled, hey, release him, gets in the chair and motions to the guy, the security guard, hook me up. Meanwhile, this guy's gloating out here, and then he turns around, and he's like, hold it, you can't do that. You can't do that. And then he ran back to, what are you doing? What? No! And then they pulled the switch, and that innocent man died for this guy's sin. It was powerful. I mean, it was really, we actually had pyrotechnics too, which made it really cool. But it was powerful because it actually showed the substitutionary love of Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't die that way, but that kind of made it personal. You know, Jesus dying on the cross, sometimes we take it for granted. We don't totally understand it. You know, yeah, he died on the cross. He died for me. But it's basically Jesus taking my place so he would die for my sins. And you could say that about yourself. He died for my sins. You know, he died for each one of us here. He took my place. He took your place. Because he had a passion for us so that he would die. He knew God's plan. So then this death wasn't just a death, but it was a victory. And he did it because he had a passion for us. You know, and that just kind of drives it home, knowing that he loves us that much. We're that special for Him. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." What's your biggest passion? Is it God? Or is it something else? Is it someone else? God desires to have a close relationship to us, for us to live with Him, to walk with Him, to obey Him, to read the Word, to pray and talk with Him, fellowshipping with fellow Christians, praising, worshiping God, making God number one in our lives. God wants you. God wants you. Everyone, close your eyes and bow your heads right now. Oh, Jesus. God wants us so much. He's standing there waiting for us, reaching out His arms to us. He's waiting for our move. We're not perfect, but we could change our priorities. We could change our passion to what it's all about Him. It's all about Him. That we go with hunger and thirst for Him. I just want to ask everyone, as your eyes are closed, no one looking around, that if that's you, and we will have a time for prayer if anybody wants that in a little bit. But first of all, if that's you and you want more passion and you want to make sure your priorities are right and your passion is where it's supposed to be, where passion for God is number one, that's you, just go ahead and raise your hand. And just put it up and put it right back down. I just want to pray for you. Anyone, thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I want to make God more important in my life. I want the passion to be there. I want God number one. Anyone else? Stand and sing. We're going to sing "Hungry." If anybody wants prayer for anything, I'm going to leave the altar open and I will pray for you. But this is talking from a pastor. I want more, and I hope that's what you want. And those who made that decision, go for it. Go for it. Don't wait. Go for it. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask You to just be with us tonight, Lord, as we fellowship, Lord, tonight, and as we go our separate ways, Lord, let our minds be focused on You. Let our minds be focused on things of You, Lord, Your ways, Lord, to have that passion for You, Lord, the desire to just that relationship with You, Lord, to draw closer to You, to run into Your arms, Lord, and just love on You as You love on us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Be with each one of us. Strengthen us, Lord. As individuals, strengthen us, Lord, as a church. Bless Pastor Chris and the family as their way being ministered unto also, Lord, with the ones that are with him, Lord. Just bless them, Lord. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and just go with God. Go with God this week.